Lord God, we pray that you would speak to us today.
I can't do that.
That even now you would be preparing the words that are said to somehow miraculously be your words. That even now you would be preparing our ears that we might hear you speak, our hearts that we might feel you speak, and our minds that we might understand, and our souls that we might be changed. Fill us even now with your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' strong name. Recently, I read of an account of an 18-year-old merchant seaman aboard a ship in 1942. The ship was transporting Sherman tanks across to Europe. In the middle of the Atlantic, these tanks broke loose in a big storm. They were Sherman tanks, so 20, 30 tons. As the ship would roll, these tanks would just slide through the hole and bang up against the bulwark. Then they'd roll the other way, just shaking the ship apart. So we pulled out of the convoy. We headed into the sea while the deck seamen went below to secure those tanks. They were riding them like cowboys, trying to hook cables through. Finally, they got the tanks lashed down. The great danger to the ship came not from the storm on the outside, but by the disturbance on the inside. We can handle the stressors without, only when we are battened down within. As I think about that story, the question that I have for us to start with is, are we battened down within? Do you have peace within so that you can weather whatever happens on the outside? And how tenuous is that peace? And of course, this is only made more difficult because of how much we have to worry about these days. Diseases, wars, famine, cancer, dropping your cell phone in a pool of water. There are these huge things that we need to be concerned about in our lives right now. Plus, there's all those kind of more personal ones. What happens if this happens to my kids? How do we take care of our parents as they get older? What school will I be able to get into? What do I do about this situation at my job? Do I have enough to retire? What have I made of my life? Is it too late? What's more, even if we're not worriers about all of those kinds of things, it seems like our culture tries to keep us off balance, keep us from reaching any kind of equilibrium. Advertisements tell you why you don't have enough. Social media tells you all the cool stuff that everyone else is doing that you're not doing. And television tells us about the lives that you could be living, but you're not. How, in the midst of all that, could you ever How could we ever find peace in the midst of all of that? That's what we're going to be looking at today. A couple weeks ago, we began this final section in our series on growth, and we talked about what we are hopefully growing into. Who are we becoming? And hopefully, we're becoming people of character. And as we've talked about a couple times now, we recognize that becoming a person of character doesn't happen by accident. You don't just accidentally get to the end of your life and say, oh, look, I was awesome. That just happened. I didn't even try. I didn't even try to have integrity. It just totally showed up. Instead, integrity, character, self-control, these things take vision and they take effort. They take work. And so the questions that we've been kind of looking at broadly is, what kind of work does it take? What kind of person are you becoming? And maybe even more specifically, do you even know what kind of person you're becoming? Other people might. Do you know what you're becoming? And so it's kind of a jumping off point in the series. We've been starting with just this passage in Galatians where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And as we keep in step with the Spirit, this is what should be developing in our lives. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, 22-25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as we keep in step with the Spirit, as we focus on what God is doing, strive to keep up with him in our lives, watch him, pursue him, and all the rest, we should find that we are developing that kind of character. And it makes sense when you think about it for a minute. If you spend time with anyone, you tend to take on their mannerisms, even some of their morals. And so why wouldn't that be true of God as well? The more you spend time with God, the more, because God is filled with those things, the more those things should sort of rub off on us so that we are loving and joyful and peaceful and patient. But there's a danger here too, because if you're not looking at this just the right way, you can be mistaken. It's easy these days to become mistaken from the fruit of the Spirit to what you almost have to call kind of pseudo-fruit of the Spirit. Characteristics that look like the fruit of the Spirit, but in fact are almost opposites sometimes. So for example, it would be easy sometimes these days to mistake love for kind of the more the cultural way of saying that is following after your heart. Of course, another name for following after your heart would be adultery. Love. You can mistake self-control, a fruit of the Spirit, with self-improvement, which may really just be another form of vanity, not self-control. You can mistake mere happiness for joy, which it turns out, as we talked about last week, you go about getting those in opposite ways. They're almost opposites, even though they sound so similar. And you can even sometimes, I think, mistake apathy for peace. We tell ourselves, I don't get too worked up about anything, so therefore I'm at peace. Or you're apathetic. Or you're not caring about things you should care about enough, which isn't peace at all. So throughout the summer, we're looking at all these different characteristics and trying to figure out, how does keeping in step with the Spirit bring these things into our lives, make these things more evident in our lives? Are these characteristics even growing? So today we look at the third characteristic, which is peace. And peace is a tricky one, because you don't know if you have peace inside until something happens outside of you. And then if you have a good deep well of peace inside of you, you're going to be able to weather the storm with, you know, relatively well. Whereas if the well of peace inside you has gone dry, you're going to struggle when the storm comes, even a small one. And the problem is, you don't necessarily know that you're prepared for the storm until you're in the storm. And when you're in the storm, it tends to be very difficult to find peace. When you're kind of being battered back and forth by the wind and the waves, it's hard to find something to hold on to at that point. So where do you find your peace? How do you find your peace? Is what we're going to be looking at this morning. I would encourage you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 12. Let's see if this has any shed any light. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 12. It's in your bulletins, it's on the screens, but it's better in your own Bible. So if you want to turn there, Philippians 4, 4 through 12. Paul is writing to a church in Philippi, and he says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Amen." Now, before we go too deep into this passage, I first want to point out that there's a relationship between joy and you'll notice, first off, that our passage picks up right where we left off really last week, Last week was all about finding joy, and somewhere toward the end of the sermon, I quoted this verse, "Rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice." And then somehow, from rejoicing, Paul turns his attention to peace. But I don't want you to miss how related these two things really are. If you have found the joy that we talked about last week, then the peace that we're going to talk about this week probably isn't that far off. John Henry Newman wrote perceptively, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What is fullness of joy but peace? Joy is tumultuous only when it is not full. But peace is the privilege of those who are filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters come to the sea. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee." I like that question. What is fullness of joy but peace? And it makes sense when you think about it. If you think about someone you know who has a lot of peace, it almost goes without saying that they also seem to express a certain kind of joy. And most of the people who seem to have a deep sense of joy have an abiding sense of peace. They tend to go together. I think that's how Paul got so quickly from rejoicing in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice, and then all of a sudden talking about the peace of the Lord and peace that passes all understanding. Because they're all part of the same fruit of the Spirit. But now I want us to dig deeper into that passage and into this topic of peace. And to do that, I want us to start at the end of the passage and work back toward the beginning. Because Paul ends the passage by referring to a secret that he's learned. And interestingly, it almost seems like it's in the midst of some specific challenges where he's put this secret together, that he's figured this out, that he's learned the secret. So I wanted to start with the challenges. Paul ends our passage by pointing out that there are a couple of situations that arise in which peace is particularly difficult to find. And I think these situations shed some light on the secret of peace. Paul writes that it can be difficult to be at peace when you're in need and when you have plenty. When you're in plenty and in want. Now, the first of those is easy enough to understand. If you don't know where your next meal is coming from, if you don't know how you're going to pay some of your bills, if you find yourself in a jam, understandably, it will be hard to find peace. What's more, in these situations, anxiety has the tendency to run rampant. What little you have can be taken away. Or if something else comes up, it may be the final straw that breaks the camel's back. It can be hard to find peace when you don't have enough. But there's another time when it can be particularly hard to find peace. Though I think most of us have a relative blind spot to this particular challenge. It can be difficult to find peace when you have plenty, when you have enough, when you're well fed, when you have more than enough. Now, part of this comes simply from the fact that if you have more, you have more to lose. So there's a little bit of anxiety that just comes surely from having stuff in general. If you have money, you can lose it. If you have a house, stuff, you can lose it. If you have a health, you can lose it. If you have a family, you can lose it. But there's something similar about both these situations, plenty and want, that lead us to why they, in particular, are challenges. And I think therefore also then point us to the secret of peace. Both of these states take our focus off of God. Both cause us to focus all of our attention on what we have or what we lack. And when we do, peace vanishes. If I have a lot and a crisis comes up, I will use my resources and abilities to try and fix the problem. I will focus on my plenty to solve the problem. And you'll notice who I'm not focusing on. If I have a little crisis in my life and I have little, I will focus on my lack, or I'll focus on how to keep my head just above the waters. And again, you'll notice who I'm not focused on. While I was working on the sermon, I was looking at the different translation for a moment, and I found the ESV translation of this passage particularly helpful. Philippians 4:12 in the ESV says this: I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I like the way that they translated it: facing plenty, facing hunger, facing abundance, facing need. These all can be dangerous, according to the Bible. And I think the secret of peace then is that when you have plenty or want, you shouldn't be facing them at all. You should be facing God. I think this is the secret that Paul's learned about peace. As we pursue God, as we keep in step with the Spirit, as we keep our focus on Jesus in the extremes and in the in-betweens, maybe that is how we grow more peace in our lives. Maybe that's the secret that Paul had to learn. But then, of course, the question comes, how do you do that? How do you find more peace in your life? And I think the path will be similar to the path of joy that we talked about last time. You can't simply get more peace. But as you pursue God, He gives more peace. The more peace you try and take, the less you'll have. But that doesn't mean that peace cannot be had. But you have to be living for something else, something larger, where peace is just a byproduct. Commenting on the peace of God, Spurgeon testified, "I looked at Christ, and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove of peace, and it flew away." And I think what he's getting at is what we've been talking about during this whole part of the series. The more you seek Christ, the Prince of Peace, the deeper your peace will be. The more you strive after just simply a deep peace in your life, the more it will remain elusive. The more you try and hold on to peace, it'll slip through your fingers. And the more you try and hold on to Christ, the more you will find peace deep within. I find it interesting and enlightening that Paul in our passage says we're supposed to present our requests to God in prayer. We're supposed to focus on things of God, and we're to put into practice the things that we've learned. And as we do all of that, Paul writes, the God of peace will be with you. Again, we see that as we focus on Him, as we pray to Him, as we think of the things of Him, as we put into practice the rules He gives us, as we do all of that, God will take care of the peace within us. Because ultimately, it's His peace that we need, not our own peace. It doesn't say that God will even give you peace at all. It says that the God of peace will be with you. That's how we experience more peace in our lives, by keeping close to the God of peace. And again, like last week, we're left with a fascinating and horrible little test of our focus. If we find we are lacking in peace, what that seems to imply is that we're not keeping in step with the Spirit. That we're not praying enough, that we're not keeping our focus on godly things enough, that we're not putting into practice the things we've learned enough. But maybe even more helpful this week is that if you're in the midst of a storm, if you find yourself in the midst of just one of those storms that comes in life, and you're lacking in peace, this means there's something you can do about that. There's a way to find more peace. And it involves keeping up with the Spirit. That might help a bit. Though I think we'll find a much deeper peace if we don't wait for the storm in life to turn our attention and focus back toward God. It seems to me that all the saints of the faith that I've known have a deep reservoir of peace. And it's come from day in and day out faithfulness. Whether they're in a storm or whether they're not in a storm. But that constant time with God has given them a deep reservoir of peace. And so storms don't seem to have that much effect on them anymore because of how deep that peace goes. Finally, at the beginning of our passage, Paul encourages his readers to not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near, So pray about it with thanksgiving, and then let the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. The way we keep from having anxiety about all the things we should have anxiety about is by recognizing that God is bigger than our anxiety. God is bigger than any storm in our lives, and the Lord is near. I like that we are to make our petitions known to God with thanksgiving, which I take to mean that as we're asking God for whatever it is that we're anxious about, we're also to be mindful and thankful about what God has already done for us and in us, which turns our attention back toward God, back toward faithfulness. It takes our attention away from the storms we may currently be facing and put them back where they're supposed to be. As we're thankful, we recognize just how faithful God is. We recognize He really does have the whole world in His hands. And in the midst of that, we may again find His presence and His peace. And that's the peace that then guards our hearts and our minds against any other anxieties and worries that may come. Somehow, His peace guards us from even more anxieties that could come. There's a story told of a ship that was wrecked in a furious storm. There was only one lone survivor. It was a child. He was swept by the waves onto a huge rock, and he was there all night long. Throughout the night, the waves just battered at the rock all night long. The next morning when the sun arose, they spotted him, they rescued him, and they brought him back to shore. And as he was recovering, someone asked, "Did you tremble while you were on the rock during the night? Were you scared?" The boy said, "Yes, of course. I trembled all night, but the rock I was holding on to didn't." Friends, we need to find our peace in the rock that doesn't tremble in the midst of the storm. As with all the other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit so far, the secret remains. If you try and get more peace in your life, you're not going to find it. But as you keep in step with Him, as you spend more time with Him, as you get Him in your life more, you will find His peace, which transcends all understanding, in you. Because it's His peace that you'll find in you. Let's pray. Lord God, you know that we live in a world of storms. Our world just seems to have trouble all the time. There's so many things that we can worry about. There's so many things that cause us anxiety. And we do need your peace to be in us and upon us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to pursue you more, to spend time with you, to go after what you're going after, so that as we get closer to you, your peace will be more inside of us. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, that we might be at peace with you. And it's in His name we pray all these things.